in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. What an amazing day. For those of you that were with us last night for our candlelight service, very nice, very neat. Just an impressive time when you see all these candles lit. And really being the light of the world and being the light of Jesus Christ. And I love that. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2 through 8, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." And I think as we read that, we have to think about the coming Savior. And they're saying he's coming, and they shall abide, and he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. When he comes, he will be our peace. Let us pray. All glory to you, Almighty God, on this day. For the gift of your Son, there is light in the darkness and hope of the world, whom you sent to save mankind. With singing angels going before him, let us praise your name and tell the earth his story. Let us tell them his story of what he's come to do in our lives, so that men may believe and rejoice and bow down, acknowledging your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, last night we had our candlelight service, and afterwards, as is tradition in our family, we went to my mother's house, and we enjoyed time together with our family, and it's always been Christmas Eve that's when we do that, and then on Christmas Day we spend time with our families as we got older and had our own families, and I thought there's a lot of different traditions going on for Christmas, some a little crazy and some not, but when you think about traditions around the world, I heard in Japan, Kentucky Fried Chicken is their turkey for Christmas, so to speak. And it started four decades ago, when they first went there with their advertising blitz. So for the people in Japan, their big deal, they wait and wait and wait. And they said there's like a 2-month list to get their order placed. I thought, could you imagine that for KFC? And sometimes for us, it's a passing thought, oh, let's just stop and get some chicken. But for them, that is their meal. And then over in Peru, I thought, my Lord, this one is crazy. There's a village in Peru, and to settle their disputes from the previous year and their grudges with one another, fist fights for all ages. And it shows old men battling old men in a fist fight, and young kids with fist fight, old men and young kids in fist fights, and that's how they settle their grudges. And then once that's over, it's a clean slate. And I thought, man, aren't we thankful to have a Savior that is our mediator, so we don't have to go to blows with older or younger people that may be stronger or weaker than us. And I thought, I guess the winner is the last one standing in that game. I don't know. But for us, with Jesus Christ as our mediator, we don't have to go through that mess. But I thought, could you imagine? That's a Christmas tradition. Hey, you ready for the fist fights this Christmas, man? We're going to candlelight service, and then we're going to the ring. And I thought, oh my goodness. But apparently it's acceptable. And that's how they wipe their slate clean. But for us, we have a Savior that forgives us. And it says he is just to forgive us if we are just to forgive our brothers. And we have to remember that. We want Jesus Christ to forgive us so many times, and we forgot to do our part. Well, I'm still holding on to such and such, and I want to make him squirm and suffer a little bit longer. just think we could do it the other way and we can just wait till the end of the year and settle it all. Hang on, I heard that. New traditions, okay. New prayer of faith traditions. We'll sign up matches, okay, for next Christmas. We'll see where that gets us immediately, I can imagine. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 as we move past this hideous section of crazy traditions in Peru. But Colossians chapter 1, and I thought we've read the Christmas story out of Luke, and we talked about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. My mother came and gave me a gift. It wasn't really a gift. She's just kind of cleaning out, and she said, here's a folder of all your childhood stuff. I thought, okay. So I gave each one of us kids a packet of stuff she'd been hanging on to. And most of you know I'm a twin. And as I went through that, my wife said, oh Lord, now he's got to sit and read each card before we leave here. And it's a pretty thick stack. And so I sat and read most of them. And there were birth announcements of the twins. One lady, my father was a pastor, and so they'd been at a church, and they had just left another church to go pastor at another church close by. And one little lady said, I don't know how you kept that secret from the church. And I thought, my Lord, she's carrying two boys. There's no secret there. But what the lady meant, I asked my mom, she said, no, the lady just said she hadn't seen us in a while, and they didn't know she was pregnant. So, but they didn't know it was going to be twins. They suspected, but we were born early, so they didn't know back then, and my mom didn't check it out, but lo and behold, twins. And so reading all these cards about twins in the birth, the new birth of a child. And I thought that held nothing compared to the child that Mary bore. And she knew that this child was special. Now I can look back and tell my mother, hey, your child Adam was special, but that's just my own opinion. But this came from God. And he said, this child is going to be special. And we read back in Isaiah and in Micah, and it said, this child is coming, and he shall be called Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Counselor, and multiple names. Now we pretty much know when someone's pregnant here, the time frame that that's coming. Right? We have some different people, and we can pretty much say it's about 9 months, okay? But way back then when they said, hey, this Savior's coming, they're looking at their clocks going, when? And year after year, you can imagine if we said, hey, so-and-so's going to have a baby one of these days, and you're waiting, and maybe after a couple hundred years, people are thinking, I don't think so-and-so's going to have that baby. Because a couple hundred years have passed. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. They said, he's coming. But they didn't know when. And I'm sure, like a lot of us, they probably grew impatient. The Savior's coming. I look down the road. I don't see him. I'm going back to what I was doing. You know, hey, company's coming. From out of town, they said they'd be here at such and such time. An hour later, 2 hours later, you're thinking, are you sure they're coming over? You probably go back to watching TV. Sleeping, napping, whatever you were doing. And these people just said, he's coming. And lo and behold, when that baby came, what did they think? That kid that was born in a manger? Not in a resort or a classy hotel? That kid that was born in a manger is our Savior? How could that be? Because we were waiting for this guy to come in looking great and riding on this great white horse or some massive beast or an impressive chariot. And then as he grew up, he came into town on a donkey. But we who know the story and didn't have to go through it, we know that that's the way it went. We know that he was born. Let me go back to our song. Let's see. Go tell it on the mountain. While shepherds kept their watch over the flocks by night, behold, the heavens, there shone a bright light and a holy light. It says, down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation. God's salvation. I spent the last couple days combing over, imagine this, YouTube videos again, as I love to do, watching the things where they go in the malls and break out in song and do all those things. Very impressive, some of them. And I watched them sing Oh Holy Night one time on one of the videos. And as I said, fall on your knees, a couple came through the crowd holding a little child. And I watched this family with a young boy in there. And he looked at them coming in with that child and said, fall on your knees. With parents behind him, that little kid fell to his knees. And I thought, how precious is that? The faith of the little children. And sometimes we get so hung up with pride that we can't bend down 1.5 feet and get on our knees. Say, God, I love you and I thank you for coming into my life and saving me and pulling me out of that pool of darkness that I was in. It's about 1.5 feet down for me. Maybe during worship, we feel like doing that. My Lord, I'd look like an idiot. I'm the only one they'd ask if I was okay and try and help me up. I'm telling you today, if God or the Holy Spirit tells you to get on your knees, get on your knees. I don't care if it's worship or during the message or during prayer. And I don't care if you're facing the front or turn around and just bowing down on your seat. Do it. If you're able. I know some have knee issues. I'm surprised I didn't have to have someone help me up there. But when the Holy Spirit says, do this, we need to do it. That gift that God sent was for us. And it was for our freedom. Our freedom to worship and praise Him. But also, it was for us to live a new life. And I love in the beginning of Colossians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. By the will of God. And so many times we forget these things. And as I read some of those cards yesterday, and some of those, you know, well wishes for the twins, I'm sure the older boys are excited. I'm sure they were. Now two boys came looking like each other and stole their attention from the two boys. My two older brothers, that is. But as I read those, I said, may God's grace be with you. May God's peace. And it was very, very, religious type greetings. I don't know a better way to say that, and I'm sorry, but I mean that respectfully. And they say, may God continue to bless you. We pray that your family will do this and that and be well. And we miss that. And that's what I love about reading some of these letters, is their greeting to the people that they're sending it to. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and it says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. I know I missed that mark a few times this week. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I don't think it gets any better than that. He is the image of the invisible God by the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. That is our gift as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. I thought, man, there's a whole laundry list there. Verse 9, that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? So that we can walk worthy of the Lord. And why do we want to walk worthy of the Lord? That we can be fully pleasing to Him. Children. Hang on, I'm looking around. Well, we're all children, but the younger one. Children. You want to be pleasing to your parents. I know you do. That was a hint in case they didn't. But I know you do. Walk worthy, fully pleasing them. And Jesus Christ says the same thing. Walk worthy so that you can fully please me. It says in verse 12, and I love this, we talked about it briefly last night. We are partakers of the inheritance. We have an inheritance that He has given us, and we are partakers of that inheritance. Verse 13, He has delivered us from darkness. Verse 14, He has given us redemption. We read that last night. We have the gift of redemption. And how do we have that gift of redemption? It says through His blood. You see, the first gift was God giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. But the second gift was hanging on the cross. And that was our freedom and our redemption and our salvation on that cross. And that blood was our gift. And then in verse 16 it says, all things were created through Him and for Him. And I think we can forget that so many times. Turn over in Colossians to chapter 3 if you would. And we've read this not too long ago, but it bears repeating to me at this time of year. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. So if we know we were raised with Christ, then we know that our job is to seek out those things which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, says, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above, church. Not on the things on the earth. And I said a couple weeks ago, this holiday season, some of us are going to be disappointed on what we got or didn't get. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. We tend to get distracted when we think of things here on this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And it tells us in verse 12, we talked about this a few months back. And it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Well, right there. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. We can't forget that part, because when we do, He doesn't do that for us. He forgives us when we forgive our brothers. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And it doesn't say should do. It's best if you do. It says you must do this. A couple weeks ago, I'll bring it up again. We talked about praying for our enemies. Dang it, Adam. We kind of buried that a couple Sundays ago when you first mentioned it. We just put it behind us. We have to pray for our enemies. And we have to find a way around that. When we as Christians misbehave and don't represent Christ and don't walk with the aroma of Christ and don't walk in unity with one another, we misrepresent His love and His compassion for mankind. You also must forgive them. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I simply want to close with this. And it's verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. And it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Our gift is Jesus Christ. And He gave us a representation of how He wanted us to act and behave. And it says we are to be His ambassadors, forgiving one another, helping other people to see that it's best to forgive one another. We are to love one another through our differences, whether it be our language or our color or whatever. We are to see past those differences and find unity and pray where there are differences. Not to be caught up in all the different language. We're to be good. We're to do good. We're to speak good of others and to others. And I know really should be speak well to others, but it doesn't flow with my be good, do good, and speak good. Last night during our candlelight service, what a beautiful moment as we were closed and we had all the candles lit. Gwendolyn Fowler. She just gave me a big smile. She said, I want to ask God into my heart. And I thought, man, this is just fantastic. When I see as an older guy, her mother, who was in Ground Zero, with her father and mother leading and running that when I first started this church. And then to see she married Robbie and their family. And now to see their daughter, Gwendolyn, ask Jesus Christ into her life. Gwendolyn, come up here real quick. All I'm going to do is show them who you are in case they're not familiar with it. Doesn't she look beautiful? She's got her jingle bells on. A beautiful young girl. And she just said, I want to ask Jesus into my life. And she did that. And as her mother and father sat beside her, I know that they were so proud. And I know as Robbie sat next to her, I thought it was wonderful. And I thought, it's really what Jesus does with us. He said to her, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. And as her mother sat in front of her, and we are so proud of her. And the Bible tells us, I said, man, when one person is saved, the angels are singing, they're rejoicing up in heaven. And we as a church body rejoice with you. And she said, I want to be baptized tomorrow. It's a little quick turnaround, so we're going to do that next Sunday. But I said, great news. You're going to be the first baptism of 2017. Thank you very much. So take just a moment after service just to congratulate her and tell her parents thank you. I know that faith in that family is just so deep. And she said, I asked kind of what brought her to that decision. And she was emotional, you know, just kind of a big deal. And it is a big deal, not to be taken lightly. And she said last night just reminded her of her grandmother. And I thought, man, those traditions and those moments, you never know what spark us. But I'm glad that we reminded her of her grandmother, who's not with us anymore. And I'm glad that that family is so tied in to this church again, and we're thankful for that. And I thought, that's why God sent His Son. For Gwendolyn Fowler and the rest of us that have accepted Jesus Christ. And for those that haven't done it, for those that aren't even born, that have hope in this world now to change and transform their lives. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, I am just overjoyed and overwhelmed today. As we sacrifice and come together on this Christmas day just to celebrate your birth and what that means in our life, what it means to us. And I am so thankful and so grateful. God, as I mentioned earlier, I ask that we listen to you and that we listen to the Holy Spirit. If you tell us to drop to our knees, that we drop to our knees. We become a church that's obedient to the will of God and the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this year you have given us, 2016. Lord, we accept the good and the bad, the trying times and the triumphant times. Through all those things, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you as the head. We acknowledge you as Lord of our lives. Lord, help us in 2017 to surrender ourselves back to you. Where we've taken ourselves back from you, that we give ourselves back to you. Lord, we pray today that we do not take advantage or take for granted the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as we leave this place today to have peace, to be filled with your hope, to have the fullness of joy, and to show and share your love through our actions towards one another and the words we speak to those we know and don't know. Lord, help guide us and lead us. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.